My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. O Lord, our God, we look to thee out of our need and out of our longing for thy presence in our everyday living. Forgive us. Give us clear and understanding minds, and point the way for us each hour of the day and night. And as we try to follow the Master, we pray that there may always be within us the strength and resources that we need in order that we may do this honorably. This we pray for ourselves and for all with whom we work everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God is a clear expression of what most people are up against in the daily walks of life. Recently, a mother was visited by the superintendent of the local high school in her community. Her daughter had gone wrong. The girl would not be allowed to complete her senior year of high school work and could not graduate. A marriage was forced. The mother was a Sunday school teacher in the local church. How could she face her class again, or her friends, or the people of the community? She had never suspected that her daughter was getting in trouble. She had always been so trustworthy and so obedient in the home. She was always in by 10:30 at night. She was never bad or disobedient. But now the bottom had dropped out of life for this family and for the close friends of this family. Fortunately, the mother and father trusted their minister, and so they went to him and sought advice. A series of conversations followed. It was necessary for the minister to see them almost daily for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, this mother and father are facing the world again, taking their place in the church and going on down the roadway of life. A fine young man, 17 years of age, after attending Sunday school and then singing in the choir during morning worship, went home from church 2 Sundays ago. He found his mother, who has been divorced and lived alone with this son, with a razor in her hand, trying to slash her wrists. The 17-year-old son managed to take the razor away from his mother, and then she told him that she had just swallowed a handful of sleeping pills. About that time, she fainted. The boy felt his mother's pulse, and there was none. He had enough thought at the time to give her mouth-to-mouth respiration. Moments later, she breathed again, and her pulse began to beat. Then came a series of decisions for this lad. What would he do? What could he do? When his mother became conscious again, she was screaming and wanting to die. Nobody in the house but the two of them. The boy called upon his minister, whom he knew would understand, whom he knew was really concerned, and whom he knew he could trust with confidential matters. There followed the necessary medical care, a visit to an institution for some time, that will be for some time to come, and so on. The youth turned to his pastor to help him in this time of frustration and confusion, when the bottom of life had dropped out and he was yearning from within for help. A man told his little daughter and his wife goodbye one afternoon, said, "I'll be back in a few hours," went away to a nearby city to purchase a machine that he was interested in. He promised to be back for a late evening meal, about 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock came and the husband and father had not returned. The mother and daughter ate their meal. 9 o'clock, he had not returned. 10 o'clock, he had not returned. The wife became alarmed. She tried to call a neighbor, but the telephone wouldn't work. It was in a country community, and the house was some distance from the nearest neighbor. What could she do? She was afraid to go out alone. She did not drive a car. She went to bed and waited in vain all night. And the next morning, about daybreak, she got up and went to a neighbor's house and set up an alarm. Days went by, and the whole thing was shrouded in mystery. Later, the man was found halfway across America. He said that he had been drugged and taken away in somebody else's automobile. The interesting thing about this is that during that time, the pastor, one of our graduates, went to see that family as regularly as the medical doctor did, and the physician and the minister were able to hold things in the road when life was about to go to pieces. And when the husband was being returned to his home, the pastor was the one who was requested to go with the family to meet him at the airport. A 48-year-old man was dying with cancer. He had only a week or more to live. His wife said to her minister, "My husband's sister is trying to run my business, trying to tell us what to do concerning the death of my husband. She's trying to tell us what funeral director to get, what cemetery to use, where to have the service, and how much money to spend on the funeral. What shall I do?" The minister had a long talk with her and finally suggested that she and the oldest son get together, make some basic decisions, and then at the proper time, tell everyone what the decisions were. She was given reassurance in that tragic time of her own life when she was frustrated and torn inwardly and did not know what turn to take. Her minister was there in a spirit of wanting to help and was able not only to pray with her about herself and the younger children and the dying husband, but he was also able to give her some real help at the point of what she should do. A fine young man, 19 years of age, is enrolled in one of our great universities. He is a student in engineering, a brilliant student working under a scholarship. He lives in a world of the sciences, but every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, he is at his place in his home church. He came to his pastor with a problem a few days ago. He said, "I'm disturbed about the world situation. I read the news every day. I come to church and hear the preaching of God's word, and I know something about the need for Christ and Christian character and Christian influence in the church in countries like the new democracies of Africa and Asia." He said, "I want to talk with you about what I should do in life. I feel that God somehow is trying to lead me into a life of usefulness as a Christian. I do not feel that He wants me to be a minister. How can I use my capabilities as a scientist and engineer in a Christian way so as to be of help out here in this world confusion?" The pastor and the young man are talking together about how he may determine what God wants him to do with his life in this world situation. I would just like to remind all of us this morning that this is life on the minister's field of action. It is the world in turmoil about him. It is what he confronts when he is out of his pulpit and in his community. It is the human soul crying out for the mercy of God, forgiveness of sin, and for the compassion and understanding of a Christian friend. How much of a Christian friend can you and I be as we confront these crucial issues in the life of people with whom we deal? Heavenly Father, as we go about our studies in the classroom, our family life from day to day, working or worshiping without having full responsibility, as the case might be in churches in this area, keep us always conscious of the longing of the human soul for God and the crying of the human spirit for someone who is a Christian to come and be of help. May we never lose this spirit of compassion and concern about people out of our life and ministry. For we ask it in Jesus' name.